We'll continue with the discourses of Sri Nisargadatta. We'll start with a short one from October 5th, 1980. Maharaj says, I have no individuality. I have assumed no pose as a person. Whatever happens in the manifest consciousness happens. Okay? So liberation is liberation from the illusion of being a person. The obstacle is our greed to hold on to that identity and its beliefs and its emotions and its attitudes. And it refuses to let go and surrender to God. That is what must be achieved. People identify me with their concepts and they do what their concepts tell them. It is consciousness which is manifest, but nothing else. Who is talking? Who is walking? Who is sitting? These are the expressions of the chemical I am, the chemical, the body, the brain matter, the phenomenal plane representation of the real. But who is the real? So, are you that chemical? You talk about heaven and hell, this Mahatma or that one, but what about you? Who are you? In meditation, one sees a lot of visions. They're in the chemical, in the realm of the consciousness, are they not? All these things are connected only to that birth chemical. You are not this chemical I am. This is the hardest concept to be able to understand, because it's the last concept, and then you go beyond concepts. But it's the holding on to that belief that you're that particular individual and that particular chemistry and that particular bodily attitude and style and identity with all of its narratives. That is what must be discarded. So spiritual knowledge is not just to be studied, but it must be derived from listening. When the listener hears and accepts, then something clicks in him. This I am-ness is other than the self. It is an expression of duality. So it has to click. You have to get this in such a way that it causes a change. It brings about an entirely new octave of consciousness, free of the gravity of the ego and its limited perspective. Because otherwise the knowledge will be put into that paradigm of the ego and shredded, and it will no longer hold its truth. It will become turned into an egoic false idea, or it will simply be forgotten, because the ego cannot retain such a subtle understanding. So the ego must be jettisoned for that understanding to remain constant. Otherwise, the ego mind will turn it into some sense of inadequacy or failure or other form of duality, in which there remains a separation from the truth rather than an embodiment of it. I'll read one more discourse from November 8th, 1980. Question: why is it that we naturally seem to think of ourselves as separate individuals? Maharaj replies, your thoughts about individuality are really not your own thoughts. They are all collective thoughts. You see, the thoughts fool you. They say I, but that I is a collective I. You got that from outside. Your I is an imitation of people you've seen on the internet, in films, in your family system, in all of the interactions with life that you have imitated. The ego is mimetic. It has no true individuality. You have to first gain the individuality of the real I am and then transcend that, because even that is false. So, Maharaj goes on, you think that you're the one who has the thoughts, but in fact the thoughts arise in consciousness. The thoughts have you, you don't have the thoughts. They possess you. Because if you are in the ego mind, you have no barrier to them. Because you want to use thoughts. They weaponize, but you think you control them when in fact they control you and determine your destiny. But you can't discern the difference between those collective thoughts that now come from a demonic noosphere, from the real self and its divine presence within, that alone will keep you safe from those demonic influences, or you'll be taken over by them and you'll become one of them. So, as our spiritual knowledge grows, our identification with an individual body-mind diminishes. So you will know your progress by the fact that there will be a diminishing of egocentricity, a diminishing of identification and attachment to the body-mind, and a connection to the real. Okay. So our consciousness will begin to expand into universal consciousness. The life force will continue to act in the body, but its thoughts and actions will no longer be limited to an individual. Once you have separated from that collective consciousness that the ego is embedded in, you receive the downloads, you receive the inspirations, the Shakti that connects you to the source, and your thoughts become of an archetypal nature, a universal nature, and your feelings become that of awe and that of love and that of joy, and all of the ego's thoughts, all of its negativity, cynicism, judgment, greed, anger, attachment fall away, and the higher presence of the soul and then the real self begin to emerge as your true nature. So Nisargadatta continues, these thoughts of God, these energies become the total manifestation. It is like the action of the wind. The wind doesn't blow for any particular individual, but for the total manifestation. So there has to be a complete elimination of selfishness, beginning with your ego's own ideas that create that selfishness and that hold one in a limited perspective of a false certainty that is clueless about the true nature of one's reality. Another question, as an individual, can we go back to the source? And Maharaj replies, no, not as an individual. The knowledge I am must go back to its source. So you see, the knowledge I am is not an individual knowledge, because everyone says I am. I amness is a universal quality. And that I amness that returns to the source returns by letting go of the ego. And when it reaches the source, then even the I amness disappears. The absolute is prior to the being that exists in the phenomenal plane. It's a timeless universal consciousness that is free of all limited paradigms and identities. So he says, now consciousness has identified with a form, but later it will understand that it is not that form and goes further. In a few cases, it may reach the space. Interesting. And very often there it stops. It stops at the nothingness. It doesn't go to the fullness. In a very few cases, he says, it reaches the real source beyond all conditioning. So don't stop with that laya state, that state in which there is spacing out, and you don't feel that that's the end, that's the self. It has nothing to do with that. It has to do with infinite intelligence, infinite joy, infinite love, infinite presence that has no death and no birth. And when you reach that and the fullness of the power that creates universes, then you will have reached your source. So Nisargadatta goes on, it is difficult to give up that inclination of identifying the body as the self. But I am not talking here to an individual. I am talking to the consciousness. It is consciousness which must seek its source. So you can't even begin to go to your source until you realize you are the I am, not the becoming, not the mind that thinks it exists as a body, but the consciousness that is aware of, witnesses that operating system, but does not identify. Only then can the source be returned to, because there is no free will in the ego. And because it had no existence before entering into the body, it cannot leave the body. It's a dead end. It's a temporary type of consciousness meant only as an operating system of the body. It is not eternal, and it will not function at the higher levels. So you must realize the higher dimensions of your consciousness beyond the ego in order to extract yourself from it. So out of that no-being state, we came into the beingness. We were in the infinite, eternal. We dropped into the beingness, and then from the beingness into the becoming of the ego. It comes as quietly as twilight, with just a feel of I am, and then suddenly the space is there. In the space, movement starts with the air, the fire, the water, the earth. All these five elements are also you only. Out of your consciousness, all of this has happened. The elements that we think of that make up the world, they are a projection of consciousness. They are not outside of the self, but not the consciousness of the ego, the consciousness that is real, that is prior to the ego. So, out of your consciousness, all this has happened. There is no individual. There is only you, the total functioning, the consciousness of all. That is you. You are the consciousness, and all the titles of the gods are your names. But by clinging to the body, you hand yourself over to time and death. And you are imposing this on yourself. I am the total universe. When I know I am the total universe, I am in need of nothing because I am everything. But I cramped myself into a small thing, a body. I made myself a fragment of what I am, and I became needy. I need so many things as a body. But in the absence of a body, do you, did you exist? Are you, were you there or not? Attain that state which was and is prior to the body. Your true nature is open and free. He's saying the same thing as the Kashmir Shaivite sages, Swatantriya. Your nature is open and free, but you cover it up. You give it various designs. You tattoo it. You tattoo it to signifiers. And you take ownership of a body and you lose your infinite nature. You sell your soul to the devil for a mess of pottage and you lose your infinite birthright as God consciousness. But you can still reclaim it if you're willing to trade in the ego for the infinite self. May you make that bargain with the Lord and cease dealings with the devil. May you know the peace that comes only from surrendering the ego mind to God and allowing that supreme intelligence and love and will to take over the body until you become purely an instrument of the will of God and no ego remains. And may you know the even deeper peace of knowing directly the heart and mind of God, of the Infinite One, and to be absorbed entirely into that supreme nature of the ultimate reality from which we all come. And may you know the supreme grace of peace that comes of entering into the final level of the secret power of God that is never transferred but becomes the property of that absolute purity of consciousness that has transcended all separation and realized the supreme truth, the supreme love, the supreme bliss, the supreme mystery. Namaste.